I want to encourage you to take a look at your prayer focus again and be reminded of the folks that are there and could really use your prayers. Sick folks and folks that have lost their loved ones and folks trying to recover from surgeries. Some of them are little children, 6 years old and 3 years old, battling cancers, and I just want to encourage you to pray for them. And Tim mentioned that my father is in the St. Cloud Hospital. My dad, this morning, he's in the St. Cloud Hospital too, along with Scott Nundahl, who would both much rather, both of them, be here. But they are in the St. Cloud Hospital this morning, and so there's a lot of people to pray for. I want to tell you this about my dad, though. He's going to be all right, one way or another. He loves the Lord. He has for a long, long time. And friends, I want to tell you this morning, before I go to Scripture, we go to prayer and then to Scripture. If you don't have the peace of Jesus, if you haven't made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, don't put it off. Because you do not know when your last day will be here. You say, yeah, but Jim, I believe in God. That's wonderful. But have you surrendered your life to Christ? Jesus is the one that said you must be born again. And so I'm just reminding us, friends, I did a 30-year-old's funeral a week ago yesterday. And at a moment, life can change. And I'm just reminding us, don't use the rationale, well, I'm a pretty good person, because that won't get it done on Judgment Day. Don't use the rationale, well, I've been baptized, or I went to confirmation, or I even go to church a few times. Our hope, our eternal hope, is in Jesus Christ. Pure and simply, Jesus. A head knowledge about God, the Pharisees had that, and you know what Jesus said to them. We must be born again. We must be surrendered to Christ, or we will never see or enter, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven. This is not the word according to Jim. This is the word according to Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And so I'm encouraging you this morning, brothers and sisters. Don't use the argument, I'm a pretty good person, or I go to church some. You must be reborn in your spirit. You must embrace Christ by faith and be surrendered to Him. And even when we die, it's going to be okay. It's going to be better than okay. We're going to meet with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to worship you like this. There are others, some are on a prayer focus, that would rather be here than lying in hospital beds or in ambulances or in care centers or someplace else, perhaps even in jail. There are others that would rather be here worshiping you, but they're not, and so we just want to say thank you that we get to be here. Father, forgive us. I suppose I have been very guilty of this, and I know perhaps the rest of us could be. We take life for granted, assuming we're going to have another day and another and another and another year, and yet life can be over with the next breath. Help us to bear that in mind. And above all else, may we in this congregation, may we in this town, may we in this state and this nation, may we realize the shortness, the brevity of life, the importance of life, and be ready because we have put our faith squarely in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May we be ready for eternity when we take that last breath. May we be able to say with confidence and authority, it is well with my soul because of Jesus. And so I pray for the salvation of this town, this region, this state, this nation. I pray, oh God, that people be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and passionate to follow Christ. And there will come a day When we close our eyes in death, and when we open them, we will see Jesus. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you for making that all possible, Father, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you for each person here. We have our own weightiness on our hearts today. May your Spirit touch and minister to each and every one. May your Spirit guide us as we look again at what Jesus said. And may we in the church adhere to and obey what Jesus said. Not for a pat on our back, but to bring you glory, our Heavenly Father. And so I pray, Lord, guide us. Guide us by your Spirit this morning. Guide churches everywhere. May you be glorified. Be with each and every one on that prayer focus and every other one that's sick and hurting, wherever they're at. Draw them unto yourself, O Lord, we pray. Save souls, we pray. Fill with your Spirit, O God. Revive your church. Glorify your name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. As we look at it this morning, help us to learn and be reminded and obey. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Matthew chapter 6, still in the Sermon on the Mount. Got a few topics left we can look at in the Sermon on the Mount. I love the Sermon on the Mount. Do you love the Sermon on the Mount? Amen. I love the Sermon on the Mount. All right. Now, today I've entitled today's sermon simply Treasures, because that's what Jesus said. And now let me just preface before we go to Matthew 6. Let me say this. I suppose if we think about it, each and every one of us here this morning, if we would think about it a minute or two, we would probably have to admit there are some treasures in each of our lives. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to spill that out, but I'm just suggesting. We probably all have things that are very highly valued by each and every one of us. It could be lands, it could be houses, it could be like the Monopoly game, it could be motels, it could be all of our gatherings. It could be something very small. But I think that if we would really be honest with ourselves, and I have tried to be, because I have been guilty of treasures too, I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we would think about it just a little while, we have treasures of material things, materialistic things. Now, perhaps those treasures aren't easily identifiable in our lives. Perhaps somebody else in our family has to point that out to us. Have you ever noticed that? We're the last ones to be aware of our faults. I've noticed that. Somebody else can see my faults a lot earlier than I can, and perhaps the other way around. I won't mention any names. But the topic today is treasures. One time, a long time ago, I had a lot of trophies and I had medals and I had these trophies all over this one area. And my aunt and uncle come along, and my aunt and uncle, he was in the ministry for many years, and she looked at that trophy and she said, "My land," she was from Texas, "My land alive, Jim." And I got to thinking, trophies, treasures, medals. And I put them all in a box and put them in the basement. I didn't want them taking my attention anymore. I've given some of them away to my grandkids now. But treasures is the topic today. You see, when Jesus spoke to these multitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, he talked to them about really, really important things. Okay, we've visited a few, like loving your enemies. Not that easy, but he challenged us to do it anyway. We've talked about really important things like the church being salt and light. We've talked last week, we talked about important things about being very aware of and careful lust. And now he's talking about this really, really important subject called treasures. And I suspect the people in that crowd that day were probably, for the most part, poor people. Are you still with me? They were probably the poorer people that were sitting on the hillsides that day. And so, but I think he found it necessary, even if we're seemingly poorer, we can still find ourselves captivated by treasures. We can. And so, he's addressing this subject about laying up physical treasures on earth. Let me say this now. I don't want to step on your toes, but I'm just going to say this. Physical treasures have no eternal value. You still with me? Our physical stuff, no matter how much we gain, no matter how much we treasure it, our materialistic stuff, our physical stuff has zero eternal value. And when we keep that in mind, it helps us to focus on what he says we should be putting our treasures in heaven. So let me take us through Matthew 6, 19 through 24, a few verses there. He starts out to the crowd, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Two reasons. One, he gives that to us very simply in this next, because when you just start laying up treasures, whether they're of fine silks or whatever, the moths might get in there and eat them all up anyway. Or if you start to lay up precious metals, the rust may just decay them anyway. Or if you happen to be gathering up gold and silver and precious coins and jewels, then someone may likely break in and steal them anyway. Reason number one, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because all these things could happen. That's reason number one. I'll get to two in a moment. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Reason number two. Where your treasure is at. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. On our treasures. On our possessions. A couple verses tucked in there that I'm not going to read, but I am going to jump to 24 and read what Jesus said. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. And then he tells those probably simpler folk, simplistic in lifestyle, on the hills of Galilee, you cannot serve God and Mammon. That's the King James, New King James. Your NIV Bible, spell it out a little easier. It says money. You cannot serve them both. Why, you would say? Because either I will cling to the one and disregard the other, and that's what's going to happen. If my heart is consumed in my treasure, I'm not going to have any time for the kingdom of God. I'm not going to be laying up treasure in heaven if I'm consumed by my treasure on earth. And so he instructs those people very simply, as he instructs us today. Treasures. Let me say it again, and then I'll elaborate on it just a moment. There is no eternal value in our eternal... Let me start it over. There is no eternal value in our earthly stuff. There is no security in our material stuff. There's security in Jesus, not in my gold. Now, I am not saying, my dad's a farmer, and some of you are farmers, and I've been a farmer. I was out helping him last night. I am not saying you don't need things to function. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you don't need a tractor. If you're a farmer, you're going to need one. The days of the mule are over. If you have a lawn service, and some young fellas in town do, you're going to need a lawnmower. Okay? I'm not saying that. But I am saying that when we think eternally, there is no eternal value in my earthly stuff. And we need to keep things prioritized and in right order. Jesus tells us that the only investments that we can make that are not subject to loss are heavenly investments. You still with me, brothers and sisters? You're looking a little drowsy this morning. The only investments, we can talk investments all day long, we can get the CPA involved, we can get the investors involved, we can do this, that, and the other thing, we can buy lands, houses, motels, just like we do on the play in the Monopoly game. But the only investments that will not be subject to loss are heavenly investments. People will last. Gold won't. My loving my neighbor or your loving your neighbor, people will last. Lands will not. And so when Jesus gives this directive, he's saying to us, keep things in right perspective. Friends, I don't know about you, but treasures has been a struggle for me. Anybody else have that trouble? I'm the only one. Treasures have been a struggle. Now, I don't own a lot of stuff anymore. I try to keep things fairly simple. But when I start seeing my garage or my shed too full and think I'm going to need another garage, another shed, I must have something out of balance. Or something. This whole treasure thing is a struggle for America. Are you hearing me? I see it every day. Every day. Doesn't matter where I'm at. This whole treasure struggle is also a struggle in the church. I've already confessed it has been a struggle for me. Why? Well, God has so blessed us in this nation. I praise God for that. But he has so blessed us, we in the church even, who have the directives of Jesus, we get caught up in this vicious cycle of, well, I need to keep up to the neighbors. After all, look what they got. I need one too. We in the church get so caught up in this treasures. We're also renting all kinds of extra space at the storage units because my garage isn't big enough to hold my treasures. We in the church get so caught up in all of this stuff, laying up treasures on earth. And please hear me. I'm not saying you shouldn't have anything because we need, a farmer needs a tractor to farm. A boy cutting the grass needs a lawnmower to cut the grass. I'm not saying that. But when we keep gathering and we keep gathering and we keep making these things our treasures, we've got things out of balance We are laying up treasures on earth, and when we're laying up treasures on earth, we don't even have time to think about laying up treasures in heaven. When we get so preoccupied with our treasures, our energy goes into that, our effort goes into that, our finances go into that, and it all starts to go to, for what? For our comfort, for our amusement, because we're not taking our treasures, our physical, materialistic treasures, newsflash folks, we ain't taking it with. You seal with me? When I die, I'm going to the little plot in Poplar Cemetery with nothing to go along with. Only one time did I see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. Saw it right out here. I'm not sure why he was doing that, but when you die, you ain't taking it with. It was one of them little rampy things that you drive the car up onto, so the hearse was pulling this car, this little ramp, like he was missing his car all back or something. We get so preoccupied with our stuff. We get so preoccupied laying up treasures on earth. We don't have time to lay up treasures in heaven. Where our treasure is where our hearts are going to be. I was reading some commentary on this matter just the other day. Let me share with you from the Believer's Bible commentary because I found it to be very, very helpful for me. I hope it's advantageous to you. Here's what it says, and I quote, "This radical financial policy is based on the underlying principle that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay, we get that. Quote continues, "If your money is in a safety deposit box, then your heart and desires are going to be there in the safety deposit box too. If your treasures are in heaven, then your interest will be centered there." Listen now, this is an important part of this quote. This teaching of Jesus forces us to decide whether or not Jesus meant what he said. It forces us to grapple with, is he right or is he wrong? And the quote continues, "If he meant what he said, then we must face the question, what are we going to do with our treasures?" If he didn't mean what he said on the hillsides in the Sermon on the Mount to the multitudes that day, if he didn't mean what he said, then we have to face the question, what are we going to do with the Bible? You see, friends, we have to ask ourselves, and I know the answer from some people because I've heard it. I hope not so much in the church. We have to ask ourselves, are the teachings of Jesus the Christ still relevant in the 21st century? We have to ask ourselves that. We have to answer that question. Either the Word of God is valid yet today, or throw it all out with the bathwater. It's all valid or none of it is. You cannot pick and choose what works for me and what doesn't. This quote in the Believer's Bible commentary is right. It forces us to decide, do I follow Christ or not? Do I just pick and choose a smorgasbord of types? Okay, I'll have that, I'll have that. That's not being obedient to Christ. I am going to get to 7:21, Matthew 7:21, before this sermon series is over, when he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But him that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We have to ask ourselves, is the teaching of the in the 21st century of Jesus from the first century still valid? Am I going to obey or not? The ironic part of this, there was a common error. I think you know this, but there was a common error of Judaism of that day. That common error was to regard material wealth as always being a blessing from God. In other words, if I'm wealthy and I'm doing really good and I'm healthy and all this stuff, that means God and I, we got it going on. If I'm poor, if I'm sickly, if I'm begging for my livelihood or whatever else, that means, well, I guess God don't like you. That was a common error of the day. I'm blessed. Me and God, we got it going on. Look at how holy I am, because look at all the stuff I got. And Jesus' teaching is flying in the face of that. Do not, very first words, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, Jesus said. So what were they going to make of that? This was a false sense of spirituality. Having these riches, having these treasures, seemed to indicate to others, I'm really that kind of, that holy kind of a person. But Jesus is telling them completely differently. I've got just a little bit of time left, so let me give you something to ponder that goes right along with this. Do you recall the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Do you recall the story? Nobody. Work with me here. This means, yes, I recall the story. I'm going to have to tell you the whole thing. You're going to be here till noon if you don't know the story. I don't mind some feedback. I like, as a matter of fact, I like for you to be awake. Thank you. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. He's rich. He's got it all going on. In the Jewish tradition, everyone would think this guy has got it all going on with God. He comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." And his reply is, "Well, I've done all that since I was a little kid. I got it." He named six of them and I got them down. And then Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he said, "Sell everything you got and come follow me." And the rich young ruler couldn't do it. All of a sudden, the riches didn't mean anything eternally speaking. He was holding on to his treasures. He wasn't willing to let go of the treasure to follow Jesus. My question for us this morning, friends, is this: are you? Am I? You can say, "Well, God has asked me to do this, and I did it. Praise the Lord." He asked me to do something, too. He asked me to leave a good-paying job at the plant and all the stuff that went along with it and come into the ministry. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I ain't much, but let's do it." Are you willing to leave your treasures behind to follow Jesus? Because that's what he's saying. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, because in time, if someone doesn't steal it, it's going to grow old, rusted, moth-eaten, nasty, out of date, whatever else, and it's going to be no good anyway. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's what he's asking us, brothers and sisters. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have prayed to receive Christ as Lord, you trusted him as Savior, you want to journey with him, at some point we must let the Holy Spirit of God intervene in our lives and lead us and help us with these decisions. And at some point it also behooves us to obey what Jesus said. He will bless people, and some people will be rich because of God. Don't get me wrong. But where your treasure is, we must be careful that that isn't consuming all of our heart's desires. Because he said, start laying them up in heaven. And so let me say this, and I'll wrap it up. In America, and perhaps other parts of the world, our attention to wealth, our emphasis, not even attention, but our emphasis on possessions and wealth and social status and retirement benefits too easily cause us to trust in all of that, in what man can provide, what I can do for myself, what somebody else can do for me, and we completely disregard what the Heavenly Father wants to provide or already has. We want to do what we can do. And so if Jesus says that our treasures will be where our heart really is, then I would ask myself, self, what can I do about that? I must surrender my will to the Master. After I've surrendered my life to be born again, to be saved, to be in right favor with God, to be justified, I need to surrender my agenda, my will, my life, my health, my ministry, and everything else to Him. We must put Him first. In Matthew 25, there's one more little story I wanted to use for an illustration. There's a story there about sheep and goats. Some of you remember that story, right? I'm betting some of you remember the story. Sheep and goats? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. A little feedback. There's a separation. Listen to me, church. On the left, Jesus called it, Matthew 25, you can read it this afternoon, is the goats. On the right, He calls them the sheep. And He said to those on the left, I was thirsty and you didn't give me nothing to drink. I was hungry, you didn't give me nothing to eat. I was naked, you didn't put any clothes on me. I was in prison, you didn't come visit me. And they will rationalize and they will argue, when did we see that? And Jesus says to them on the left, you saw it in everyday living. When did we see you, Lord, hungry and thirsty and naked and in prison and alone? And Jesus said to them on the left, when you saw it in everyday living, people are hungry and thirsty and naked and lonely and poor, and you did nothing. On the right, He says to the sheep, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. And they said, when did we see that, Lord? When did we see you in prison? And He said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Laying up treasures in heaven. People is where we need to invest, Church of God. People. We need to be in prayer for people. I suggested the earlier service, we got this whole love-hate going on with these last two presidents, it seems like. As people of God, we are called to pray for them, whether we love them or hate them. Prayer is where the people of God should be at for starting to lay up treasures in heaven. We should be praying. Remember what we just looked at a couple weeks ago. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Laying up treasures in heaven, friends, is going to last eternally. Our material treasures are not. Bottom line, end of the day, everything we have today, materialistically speaking, will be gone. Only what you have done for the Lord with people will last eternally. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven is the challenge of the living God. And I would suggest to us, to brothers and sisters, it is time and past time the people of God start taking an interest in the people that don't look like us, don't worship like us, don't even love us, and start laying up treasures in heaven and let God make an eternal difference in their lives. Oh, we can lay up treasures all day long. And one day they'll all be gone. or we can start laying up treasures in heaven. People, there's opportunities everywhere. Pray. Earlier service, we had the food shelf leader here telling us, thanking us and telling us about food shelf opportunities. But there's opportunities everywhere to serve people. There's homeless people in this community. There's Teen Challenge in this community. There's Lakes Area Pregnancy Support in this community. There's food shelves in this community. There's people lying alone in the care centers day after day after day after month. Nobody comes and sees them. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, people of God, to bring glory to God. Don't worry so much about the treasures on earth. They're just going to mold, rust, rot, decay, or somebody's going to see them and think they're valuable and they're going to steal them from you anyway. We must ask ourselves, are we going to listen to and obey the words of Jesus or just disregard that as for some other generation? We too in the church today must ask ourselves, are we laying up treasures on earth? Are we laying up in heaven? Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for the hope of Jesus. Thank you for the hope of heaven through Jesus. Father, I just pray again today, Lord, if we're not sure we understand this whole Jesus thing, if we haven't surrendered completely to you, I pray that we would pray this simple little prayer. Father, forgive me. Come into my life. I know I am a sinner. I know I need a Savior, and I know Jesus is the Savior. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and take control. Save me, forgive me, make me new. Father, I just pray that if that's where we're at today, we would do that before eternity comes a-knocking and it's too late. And for those of us that have made that decision before, Father, I pray that we would see the words of Jesus as relevant teachings for today too. And I pray that you'd forgive me, Lord, and perhaps us in the church and certainly in America, we have stored up treasures on earth. Forgive us for that. Help us in the church especially to do a lot better job of storing up treasures in heaven. Help us to see how to do that. Help us to know how to do that. Help us to put our investments in people who will last. Go with us today, Lord. Be with those that are sick, we pray. We commit them to you. Be with each person here. Guide and direct. Help us to walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray in his name. Amen.